shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Just before you take your seats, grab the neighbor by the hand, look them straight in the eye, and then you're going to tell them the truth this time. Now, if they can't look you in the eye, you might not want to survive. Come on, tell them, neighbor, we're preaching about it. Is there a king? Y'all cut that back on. Y'all put it on 61. I don't want the floor to fall out.
Amen.
See, that may go carry it. As we unite this pastor and church, there ought to be a great concern for both the pulpit and the people.
Yes, sir. Right.
If you notice, so long as the church has a pastor, regardless of how many members there are, you won't ever hear them say that church is vacant. But in the absence of a pastor, regardless of how many members of that, they'll say that church is vacant. The truth that I want to impart to you today is that leadership matters. And in as much as leadership matters, fellowship matters. The attitude that you have will determine the altitude that you will reach. So if your disposition is one that he can't tell me nothing, you may not go very far. But if your disposition is, as he follows Christ, so I will follow him. If that's your attitude, the sky is the limit to what you can have.
You preached it already,
huh? Here we are looking at the scriptures, and we often see ourselves in the faces of biblical characters. We wish we could be as wise as Solomon.
We
wish we had the singing abilities of David, but usually we're more akin to Job. With suffering and with pain. But today we're introduced to an unusual character in the scripture. Has an unusual name. He has no national prominence. He has no position to speak of. He does not write a book in the Bible. He is not credited with having penned anything in Scripture. We don't see him doing any kind of Abraham-like faith climbing mountains. We don't see him like Goliath or like David versus Goliath. We don't see anything from him that would make him stand out in appearance. But what we don't see, God can see. We have to wait until what's inside is stretched out. But God can read the heart. God knows the mind. And so as God is pronouncing judgment and doom on those that have tried his patience, he uses that conjunction that everything changes thereafter. Everything he's been saying ends with what? And when he says what, he says, my servant. Not my trustee. Not my deacon. Not even my preacher. My servant. That language interested me because that language is usually reserved for fellas like David. God would call him my servant, David. For Moses, he tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. So it's usually given to prominent individuals. When God calls you my servant, not just a servant, but when God calls you my servant. And what I want to suggest to all of us in here, while we're installing one pastor, every member can be a servant. In fact, every member should be a servant. In fact, you ought to want on your resume, I am God's servant. Or I'm a servant of the Most High God, however you want to put it. And it ought to be on your resume. And so Caleb is immortalized in Scripture because of what God saw in him that he calls a different spirit. My friend who speaks the spirit of the fathers, Precious Gibson Jr., used to say he didn't go along to get along. You know, it's kind of easy to go downstream. But it takes something to go upstream. So Caleb didn't just go along to get along. He didn't just float downstream. He went against the stream. To the notice of God, so much so that he is captured in Scripture for his spirit. Can I tell you that if you want to impress God, now we might shout because you sing. We might get happy because you preach. We might like your speaking of it. We even like to see Dean cut a step. That excites us. But if you want to impress God, you got to give him something that he did not give you. So all that singing, all that preaching, all that stuff, God gave you that gift. But if you want to impress God, you got to give him a genuine spirit. And so Caleb had another, a different spirit. And I was wondering, how different is it? Because we're not good at reading spirits. And so God says, don't struggle, it's in the book. He said, I'm not going to leave you baffled, it's in the book. All you got to do is just look in the book, and I'm going to show you what kind of spirit Caleb had. Now, what I need you to do is talk to them folk at Straight Life to see if they have a Caleb spirit. So as we look at the spirit of Caleb, as we look at this difference in Caleb over against those with whom he served, I wonder if you could be on one side or the other. Because the majority ain't always right. In fact, I know of a story where it was 10 against 2. They all went into the same promised land. They all saw the same sight. But how you feel makes all the difference. My brother says grasshoppers gave you grace. So how you feel, what it is you see, makes all of the difference. And so when those 10, shall I call them, losers came back, they came back with a defeated spirit. But when their spirit was a defeated spirit, Caleb's was a different spirit. Can I show it to you? We see it first in chapter 13, verse 30, the eighth portion, as the old folk would say. And here's what it says, that having a congregational meeting, we would call it a business meeting, and they're meeting to discuss what's just happened and what we're going to do. And before the meeting could get started, there was a negativity that was brewing in the congregation. And so when Pastor Moses couldn't call the meeting to order, here's what Caleb did. Caleb sealed it. Numbers 13:38. And Caleb sealed the people. So here it is. Caleb had the spirit of a peacemaker. So we got to go all over the Bible to know what that means. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called. So Caleb is a child of God, a servant of God. He has the spirit of a peacemaker. He brings peace to chaos. He steals the people. Now listen, when you need someone to steal the people, it's because someone else is trying to stir the people. So here's my question. Are you a stealer or a stirrer? I mean, what side of the track are you going to work on? You know, is he is or is he ain't? I just want to know, is he is or is he ain't? Are you going to be a peacemaker? Can I trust the can you bring to the fire? Because you do know sometimes we can bring the wrong can. To the fire that will talk to me. Sometimes we can make a bad situation worse. I love to tell this story. Remember, Simpson used to tell it. He sleeps with big sleep. But Simpson said that a man that was a little intoxicated got on a train. And you know, a drunk man speaks so fast. And so he walked up to this lady and she was holding her baby. And he was kind of tipsy. And he told her, said, "Hey, that's the ugliest baby I have ever seen in my life." And the lady started screaming and was upset and irate. And so the conductor comes along. And he still calmed her down and said, "Ma'am, the word's got a little intoxicated and all that. It's lunchtime, so I'm going to go pick up your lunch. And while I'm gone, I'll bring a banana for your mommy." Sometimes you can make a bad situation worse. And when you got the wrong stuff in your can, I mean, you know, but we need some water, but you got gasoline, you may have the wrong stuff in your can. What the pastor needs is some peacemakers. Somebody ought to help me. I'm trying to preach. We need some peacemakers. It's hard to preach, and you got to keep putting out brush fires. We need some peacemakers. I leave the point, but I live on an island in Hurricane Alley. And usually when the hurricane Missy Allison is by accident. But I live down there. And here's what they tell me, that when a storm is coming across the Gulf, about 25 feet below the surface, the fish life and the sea life go on business as usual. You know why? But there's death, there's peace. My point is, some of us hang on the shallow end. my movie on Caleb had the spirit of a peacemaker. His life had depth. His life had meaning. He recognized what God had for him. And his mind was made up that what God has for me, it's for me. Caleb had a different spirit. His faith was anchored in the Lord. He had a different spirit. In chapter 13, verse 30, the B portion, it says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all, for we are well able to overcome. So they're saying they look like giants and eyes, and we look like grasshoppers. And Caleb said, no, that ain't how this is. God is on our side. So Caleb, who had the spirit of a peacemaker, is Caleb who has the spirit of an encourager. You can see it, but you can see it in his action. And I heard somebody say, you can't spell team with I. And so Caleb says, together everyone achieves more. Caleb had the spirit of encouragement. Watch this. Caleb says, let us. Let us. Let us do what? Let us go up at once. So I wonder who will miss when it's time to go. Because unfortunately, everybody not going to go. Some just going to sit down and stay behind. Some going to miss the party. Some want to play the role of the Lone Ranger. But it was Coach Bear Bryant who had a simple philosophy. He would say, if something bad happened, he did. If anything good happened, we did. And I was just wondering, why you feel in that corner? Are you a blamer or a blesser? Are you going to build? Are you going to go forward? If so, somebody had to have gooseness. When geese fly south for the winter, they follow the lead goose. And they know aerodynamically the pressure is on the lead goose. And so to keep him encouraged, they hunt him. So every once in a while, holler at your boy. Every once in a while, come at your pastor. Just drive on and blow at your pastor. The pastor, just text him and say, I'm hollering at you. Just let him know and be. Let him know you're on the same team. I know I'm not as active as I ought to be, but I want you to know I'm in your corner. Be an encourager. Listen, you ain't even got to seem good to be an encourager. You don't even have to be pretty to be an encourager. All you got to do is make up your mind that you want to be on the Lord's side. And you want to be an encourager. Can I tell you, ministry is training. Ministry is taxing. And what the pastor needs is encouragement. Be nice to you to buy a handkerchief. Be nice for you to buy a cup of coffee. It'd be nice for you to just say, Pastor, I'm thinking about you. I want to pay for your car to get washed this time. I want to put some gas in your tank. I just want to bless you. The message Sunday was such a blessing to me. I just want to be a blessing to you. I just want to encourage. How do you think old man Carter made it 44 years? Somebody encouraged me. And so we have a new pastor. And he will need your encouragement. And if I can help somebody, as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. while they were in the promised land. They saw and they viewed the land. They saw the grapes that were humongous. And they saw all of the fruit of the land. And they saw all of the prosperity of the land. But the ten kept looking at the giants, while only two looked at God. And can I tell you, I don't care how big your problem is, if you keep your eyes on Him, come through. If you keep your eyes fixed on Him, He can make all of the difference. If you keep your eyes fixed on Him, He can get you over. If you just keep your eyes fixed on Him. So we see that Caleb is a peacemaker. And then we see that Caleb is an encourager. Now the final one, you have to work a little for, because you got to go to Joshua chapter 14 and then drop down to 6 and go down to verse 12 and you'll see Caleb saying these words, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." What happened is, when Caleb came back and God promised to bless him and his family, God told Moses that when you make it to the promised land, you're supposed to give Caleb a certain allotment. And so here we are, fast forward 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness. They wandered in the desert. But now they crossed the Jordan. And they have made it into the promised land. And I tell you, this evening, that every inch of the promised land must be won. You got to do some fighting if you're going to be on the Lord's side. And so when Caleb and Moses, or rather Caleb and Joshua, made it to the promised land, old man Caleb walked up to old man Joshua and say, "You remember that 40 years ago when we hit the promised land, God made me a promise and had my eyes on the mountain." And so Caleb said, "Give me this mountain. I don't mind. I don't mind how I have to drive out my enemies. Give me this mountain." And I'm sure that's what the pastor said to the church extended the call. He said, "Give me this mountain." And he also said, "The tears of the wind." So I asked my brother, "What's the secret to climb a telephone pole?" He said, "You have to have spikes on your feet and a belt around your waist. So when you spike the pole, you can lean back on the belt and make your way up the pole." I told him, "I don't have spikes, I don't have a belt, and I am standing on the word of God, and I am leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm
I'm Let's celebrate the man of God. Cynthia to share words with me for us. Let's celebrate Moderator Tillman. He did not preach for appointment today. He preached by assignment. And he preached a mighty word for every believer in the house today. For us to leave here and ask ourselves the question, what kind of spirit do we have?